This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Hello again and welcome to the Referee's World podcast, which offers education and training for football referees of all levels. You can now listen to our weekly podcast every Friday from 5 p.m. by subscribing on the website refereesworld.co.uk, searching all major podcasting platforms, and you can now subscribe to the Referee's World podcast YouTube channel. My name's Darren Cullum. I'm a Level 5 referee affiliated with Somerset FA, and this is PGMOL Observer and Southwest Pool Observer Coordinator Richard Mellon. Got it there in the end. So what people don't realise is, because I edit it all out, when I do that last bit of Richard's introduction, I always mess it up. I just really struggle saying PGMOL Observer and Southwest Observer Coordinator. But I did it all right there.
Yeah, you managed it. You got there, mate. You got there.
So, first of all, how are you? We're doing this remotely again. So, I'm here in the studio in Taunton. Rich is at home in Bridgewater. First of all, Rich, we haven't embraced. We haven't seen each other for a while. How are you?
We haven't had a cuddle, and I need a haircut, Darren. I need a serious haircut.
You got lockdown hair. Well, sometime in April is when you're going to be allowed to do that, unless somebody comes around with a set of shears.
Yeah, there'll be a couple of million people, so I might hide in next door neighbour's hedge when he's cutting it and see if I can get a cheap one.
Right, OK, just to give you a sense of day, today we're recording is Tuesday, the 2nd of March, 2021. And I've got to say, it's a bit of a pivotal day for us because over the last few months, our number of subscribers has been increasing on a daily rate. And today, for the first time, we have 300 subscribers for the first time on a daily basis. How good is that?
That's nice. That's nice.
Let's crack straight on. Our guest today is Nathan Sherratt from the third team. Nathan, hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me. It's really a pleasure to be here.
Welcome to the Referees World podcast, first of all. Rich will take the lead on the interview. First of all, just tell us a bit about yourself, tell us a bit about your background and a bit about your refereeing career.
Yeah, so obviously Nathan Sherratt, I'm Managing Director of the third team. I set the third team up formally in May 2019, so we're just approaching our sort of second birthday now, and things are going really well. And what the third team does is it works with referees on mental toughness, resilience and mental health and well-being. And one of our aims really has just been to try and help referees with a lot of the challenges that we face from a psychological perspective when we're out in the middle.
And we're going to talk more about that in just a moment. But first of all, let's go into your refereeing career. How long have you been doing it?
I think this is my sixth season now, although if you could call it a season, I don't really know if you can.
Yeah. Why did you go into refereeing?
I was a useless player, and I think there's probably a lot of referees that can empathise with that.
Hands up there.
To stay involved. Yeah, I just wanted to stay involved, to be honest, and it was a really good way of doing it, and I had some good support. One of my friends wanted to do the course with me, and his dad was a referee on the National League back in the day, and it was just a great opportunity for me to get involved in something new and to earn a bit of pocket money and get fit and get healthy, and then... Like many, I sort of caught the bug and got the obsession with it and absolutely love refereeing now.
Rich, over to you.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Although we've still not met, we know of each other because I think I recognised when the third team was born and I subscribed to it, I think, within the first or second month. Do you do a weekly release or is it a monthly release? I can't remember.
Yeah, no, it's a weekly release of the blog. We do it coincidentally every Friday at 5 o'clock, which I know you were saying. It seems like we're in competition with each other, but hopefully they can listen to your podcast and read my blogs at the same time.
But talking about where you're pitching the third team from, Nathan, what gave you the idea to do something like that?
Well, to be honest, Richard, I was refereeing a game on the 25th of November 2018, and it was a grassroots game under 16s or 17s, I think, and I mean, it was about 9-1 to the away side, and so there was nothing really in the game from a competitive angle, and about 10 minutes before the end, I heard a bit of a shout go up and I was blocked. My line of sight was blocked, and as I became unblocked, I saw sort of two players as if they were sort of eyeing each other up, going head to head, and then a player threw a headbutt, and then he threw a punch, and the sort of victim, if you like, was on the floor, and he was having a fit, and I was left in a moment there where I had a real dilemma. You know, I was on my own, and I had to look towards the player who'd been injured, and I had to look towards the sort of the perpetrator. And a lot of the parent spectators came on for the player who'd obviously to had to stop him swallowing his tongue, the victim. And so I decided to go towards the player because I felt that, you know, he had enough people around him, the victim. So I went towards the perpetrator and sort of did the sort of discipline procedure and got him out of the way, because what I was really concerned about was the fact that I'm on my own here and I don't want sort of 22 players plus spectators having a mass brawl, you know. So I made that decision, and then after a period of time, an ambulance came and took the player away and actually intensified the police, and so they got there a little bit quicker. I went through everything with the police, went through forensics, went through all sorts at the venue, and I had to go to the police station to report on the activities that had happened and to help the police for sort of piece together, because obviously it was a criminal investigation.
I was going to say, how far did this go? Because you say you had to report on forensics. That suggests to me that this is actually a lot more serious than the initial coming together.
Yeah, the police said we need to get forensic people here, and they were looking for bits of blood and DNA and all sorts from the player who had done it and all sorts of things like that. So I didn't fully understand that process, but I know that when I was at the police station, they were explaining to me that, you know, they were using various bits of things that they found at the scene, as they were calling it. But really it was the middle of a football pitch, and that's the way I was looking at it. And I was just thinking to myself, you know, if this is a young referee who's newly qualified, is that going to be the last game of their career, you know? And I think that was something that, it was through an unfortunate set of circumstances, not blaming anybody by any stretch of the imagination, but it just happened to be that my RDO wasn't available and I didn't really get the support I needed. And what I was getting in the days afterwards was I was getting really intrusive thoughts and flashbacks, and it was really quite disturbing from a mental perspective. And at that time, I wasn't an RA member. I only really had my RDO. And once that had fallen back, that option, I didn't have lots of other options lined up, which is why a big part of the work that I do now is talking to referees about making sure, you know, have you got, is there somebody at the RA? Do you have a coach? Could you, and I know obviously, Richard, that you're a patron or a member of the of Ref Support UK. They've got a hotline, 24-hour hotline. Is that an option for you, you know? And just trying to get through as many options, and now the FA has mental health champions as well. So I just think that's one of the things I really emphasise, because when I was going through that moment, I didn't have a lot of options and a lot of people to actually fall on and get support from, and I'd hate for other referees to be in that position, which is why that's one of my key missions now with the work I do.
How old were you at the time, Nathan?
I think I was about 18.
So you were a young man, you still are a young man. How old are you now?
I'm 23 now, yeah.
Okay. Oh. Darren,
still a baby, still,
yeah,
a baby.
I know.
But fair play to you at such a young age, because
well
this
done.
Is the
yeah.
What you're doing is kind of when you sit back outside of the bubble and look in, this kind of thing that you're doing, you would probably normally associate with somebody who's had probably a bit more life experience than you. No disrespect to you, you're only 23.
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, it's not easy, and I obviously I've done a lot of. I've done qualifications in mental health and things like that as well that go alongside this and drive and support and add weight to what I do. And there's a lot of very difficult things in there, you know, things such as sort of suicidal thoughts, you know, eating disorders and things like that that can come up that are really very, very difficult for a lot of people to maybe understand, who maybe haven't been to those places. And it can be very heavy and very hard at times. So absolutely, there are some very, you know, deep and dark facets to mental health and well-being, without a shadow of a doubt.
Can I ask you very quickly, Nathan, just you were talking about the deep, dark thoughts that people do get occasionally. Did you, after this incident, did you go through that phase yourself? Did you have these thoughts? Did you think, my God, what am I doing here? And did you feel any elements of guilt?
I think it's a really good question. And I think that what I would say is, within my work, again, I do. I'm a resilience trainer, and I use a questionnaire to assess myself and clients' resilience. And the facts are borne out that I'm quite a resilient person. So I was in shock at the way that this was affecting me, and the fact that, like I say, I was having intrusive thoughts and flashbacks. And what it did was, for me, it really shook me up, and it made me not want to referee. Certainly. For a short period of time, but to be honest, the type of person I am, the next weekend, because it happened on a Sunday, and then you know, you've got a whole week to digest it. By the time the next weekend came around, I was ready to go again and felt more certain that it was never going to happen again. But it does cross your mind when you walk out there for the first time. And I think that, yes, it really, what I think it was I think it shocked me. So I'm guessing that if you have a trauma, you never know how you're going to react to a trauma until it happens to you. And I was just really, really shocked with the way it affected me. I think more than anything, I was having real thoughts towards the player and obviously the fact that he was having a fit and things like that. It was very vivid in my mind.
What are your techniques? How do you give advice to people that, you know, may struggle with distractions and need to focus a little bit more on what they're doing?
I think that it's about, I think one of the big things that I always say is, and I'm a big believer in, is breaking things down. And I know, obviously, as we touched on at the very beginning, Richard, you have an involvement with the PGMOL. And I know that a lot of their technical coaches at the PGMOL like to promote the concept of breaking the game down into 10-minute intervals and things like that. And it's one of the things that works really well from a psychological perspective as well, is trying to break down things and break them down into those moments where you are dealing with a specific incident and trying not to, you know, I suppose it comes back to, again, the types of things that we're saying, you know, parking incidents and moving forward and things like that, because there's no good can come of it. And it's something that I was listening very closely recently to Sean Massey-Ellis talk about parking things and a lot of the things that go into that, because ultimately, as referees, we're making on average 300 decisions per game. And the speed at which the next decision comes means that we haven't really got time to dwell on these issues and incidents. And we haven't got time to let them sort of penetrate our minds, so that because as soon as you let something or become immersed in something, I should say, you've already sort of really started to make mistakes for what's coming, because you're not fully focused and you're distracted.
Yeah. Well, the one of the things that I've read recently, and I say recently within the last 3 or 4 months, is you wrote a piece on adopting philosophies for letting go of mistakes.
Yeah.
What's the skill factor in there in recognizing where you get distracted and thinking about that last decision? How do you focus ready for that next decision, which may be an easy decision? You may not have given a penalty, which people think it was, etc., etc., and the ball goes out of play, and having not given a penalty, which everybody disagreed with, you've then got a throw in, something simple wrong. How do you get ready for that next phase?
Well, you know, at the end of the day, I think it comes back to obviously when I wrote that blog, I was using and leaning quite heavily on the teachings of I believe it's Mike Krzyzewski. He was the Duke Blue Devils head coach anyway. And his whole idea, and it's something that I felt really could work. He had it ingrained in him as an undergraduate at the US Military Academy. But the reason why I felt it could work really well, and I was reading about this and wanted to write about this, was because his whole thing was about what are you going to do next? And thinking about that next sort of idea, because we could get a penalty decision, you know, completely correct and have that, you know, as a great moment in a game. It's a key match incident. We've got it correct. But if we're too busy congratulating ourselves on getting that right and things, we're going to lose concentration on the next big tackle that might go in that, you know, we need to be concentrating hard on, because we need to see lots of different things, like, you know, point of contact and all sorts of things like that that give us the answers to what course of action we need to take. So it's not just about mistakes. It's also about things that go well, really.
Yeah, of course it is. I mean, there has to be, at the end of every game, there has to be a hand on heart and a question to to any referee: hand on heart, did I enjoy the game? Yeah. And there's levels, different levels of enjoyment, of course there is, but it's all those things we're trying to put together, and the demands of the modern game are, well, they're increasing, it seems, you know, almost month by month. But I don't think that is really the case, because, you know, we've had the laws of the games introduced to us every season like we do. And it's dealing with the basics. And where do you start with the basics from your point of view?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, as I said, we've got the average decisions that we make, but it's about those difficult ones or easy ones. And I know that there's different ways that they get graded, but it's about, you know, it's about the things like that. We always talk about it as referees, I think. If we have a big game or just a game that we're a little bit nervous about, what we want and what we hope for is that the first decision will be something like a really obvious and clear throw-in, and then that's it, we're into it. And I've written as well about being in the zone, and I think that the way you move about the pitch in the early stages and the decisions that you make, clear signals, you know, banging out the signals, as I say, get a good body posture, just things like that, that they will bring you into a very positive comfort zone. When I say comfort zone, I don't mean complacency. I mean a comfort zone of, right, I'm in my zone here. I'm ready. We can make the decisions. I'm switched on. I'm concentrating. And just feeling comfortable. You know, I'm sure you know all about that, Richard, from your active career, that when you are in a mode and you're feeling good and you're feeling ready, you know, things seem to be a little bit easier because your concentration levels are up. And I think that's something that obviously, you know, I was listening to your recent podcasts and you were talking about the fact that obviously football's off and we're getting closer to the end of this period of inactivity. And I think that's something that a lot of referees are gonna encounter, you know, at grassroots level coming back. It's going to take them maybe half an hour into a game. You know, it won't just come to them like it does on a week-in, week-out basis because they haven't refereed for a long time.
A lot of our colleagues, well, not a lot of our colleagues, probably all of our colleagues around the world and the listeners, wherever they may be, we are, I think, our own worst critic and when it comes to analysing our game. When we get back to football, March the 29th, or whenever it may be just after that date, there's going to be a lot of emotional feelings out there as regards match control, excitement, enjoyment. There will be that moment when you get a crunching tackle. Is there a secret of how you control the emotions in any of those situations?
I think we need to be practical and I think we need to be streetwise. I think in elite level football at the moment, unfortunately, what we've seen has been very, very negative around referees constantly from all angles. Even people within the refereeing community have been very critical, I think, of referees. And I think that this means there's a bit of an ill feeling around referees at the moment. And what I feel is that there'll be a lot of pent-up energy from players who've been inactive as well, who will be desperate to get into games and make their mark on games, not necessarily in a positive way. And that's why I think we need to think practically, we need to think logically, we need to use our experience. And it may mean that we need to have maybe a lower bar of tolerance initially and start games with maybe a higher profile just to make sure that we manage them and we're in full control right from the start, and then we can maybe loosen our grip on games. That would be certainly my advice and the way I look at it, because I genuinely do feel that unfortunately there will be a lot of pent-up energy which may come out negatively from players, and it may mean that we have more difficulty doing our jobs and there's going to be a lot more challenges for us in terms of match control and various other factors within games.
Can I just ask you both, Rich, first of all, what areas do you think we're going to have to deal with most of all when we go back to games after lockdown?
I think it'll be physical contact. There'll be a lot of testosterone floating around, and there'll be a lot of contact, and every piece of contact, there'll be an appeal, there'll be a comment, there'll be something said, there'll be an opinion. So Nathan's exactly right when he says about keeping a tight control. Keep the reins quite tight for those 15, 20 minutes, maybe a little bit longer than normal, and see how the game pans out. See how the players want to play the game. They may be so excited to be back, they may just want to get on with it and say, thankfully we're out here at last having a game of football. But then there are a lot of frustrations, you know, having been sort of not locked away, but that's a bit of a
Away is exactly the right phrase.
Stop it, Dan, stop it. But locked away is the feeling of, you know, of inactivity. It's not allowed us to do anything that we would regard as normal. So consequently, it's a lot of things, a lot of emotions for the players, a lot of emotions for the referee to have to deal with, as well as control his own.
Nathan, for somebody that actually talks about this on a regular basis and deals with this on a one-to-one basis as your job, how will you personally approach your next game in terms of the build-up to it, how you'll prepare yourself before you go out onto the field of play? What is going to be your thought processes compared to what it would normally be had you been refereeing on a regular weekly basis?
Yeah, look, I think that a lot of it is what I said previously and what Richard said, which I think the way I look at it, I think it's a lot easier to start the game with as we say, tight reins and keeping it under control and then gradually loosen the grip to allow the game to maybe flow a little bit more than it is to let the game flow completely, find that a lot of players are trying to take advantage of your willingness to do that, and then it's very difficult to dial it back in and to bring the game back under control. So I think that is something that's very much on my mind. What is also on my mind is that the general feeling about referees at the moment at all levels is not a positive one. And that means that I might have to be a little bit more guarded and not allow things like that to, how do we say, grow, fester, whatever it might be. Because I think if you are seen to allow certain things to happen and certainly allow certain things to be said to you, then it massively undermines your control and the respect that you have from players.
Before we shoot off and go our separate ways, Nathan, first of all, thanks very much for sharing your words of wisdom with us today. And we would very much love for you to come back, maybe in a couple of months' time, maybe after we've had some actual football, we can sort of all between us gauge what the response is from the players has been like, and then obviously look back on the things that we've talked about in this particular episode to see how we have transported that information across to our own individual games.
No problem at all. Thank you very much for having me. I would love to come back. I've really very much enjoyed the conversation that we've had here, and I think we've made some really good points and brought some really good things to light, which will hopefully stimulate a bit of thought amongst the listeners.
If anybody's interested in getting a bit more information from yourself, would like to speak to you personally, is that a service that you would offer through your website as well? And if so, please give us all the contact details, the website address and all your Twitter handles and everything.
The website is thethirdteam.co.uk, and there is a contact page there on the website where you can get in touch. Also, if you scroll to the bottom of any page on the website, you'll be able to sign up to the mailing list to get the Third Team blog every Friday at 5 o'clock UK time. Directly to your inbox. We're on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn and Instagram. On all but Twitter, we are the third team, and on Twitter we are at the 3RD team, number 3 RD team.
Our guest on the Referees World podcast is Nathan Sherratt from the Third Team.
The download is complete.
This is Referees World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.